I'd like to begin by thanking the choir for setting the stage just perfectly for the spirit of the crowd processing with Jesus into Jerusalem. We recall then that it was the morning after the day of Jesus' calling Lazarus out of the tomb, that culmination of all of his miracles in which he showed his power over death itself. Lazarus, come out! What beautiful words for Lazarus to hear, Mary and Martha to hear, and the people in the surrounding area are awed with that moment. The word of God, simply spoken, commanding life to come forth out of death, and the man who had been dead and gone 4 days rises up with the grave cloths wrapped all around him and comes out. Oh, the majesty and wonder of our God and our Savior. So the crowd has begun to hear the word. You can imagine how a message, a story like that began to spread like wildfire through the community. And people are caught up in this. It's the time of Passover. It's a time of gathering and coming together as a nation to reflect and to recall, to celebrate indeed, to live out again the reality of their deliverance by this same God from the power of the Egyptians. It's a reflection and recollection of their ancestors' journey across the Red Sea, God's providence of them through the wilderness those 40 years. Again, a remarkable entry into the land of promise across the waters of the Jordan River, and the covenant promises of God being fulfilled to them over the centuries and the generations. God working, God actively involved in the lives of his people. And so it's no surprise that as this Passover, this particular Passover is being celebrated, and the story and the message of what Jesus has done and what he has been doing kind of rise to this massive crescendo of excitement and jubilation, and the crowd coming in, Jerusalem, the place of God's presence in all the world. And now we believe the Messiah walking in, coming into the fullness of his reign and his throne. Indeed, Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. And the excitement and the exuberance is beyond being able to contain. I almost got up and jumped, you know, when you finished that song. Yes! Hosanna! Our Lord saves, or save us now, Lord, is the cry of the crowds. Our cry as well. How different it is then, in the midst of all this glory and this exuberance and exaltation, that Jesus turns the minds of his people to that of a piece of wheat, a wheat seed. And he tells the story of what is to come through this single little particle, seeming like a grain of sand, this one wheat seed, he says. Of no effect, to no avail at all, unless it is cast into the ground and dies. And he lays out the principle of life and describes the nature of the kingdom of God itself through this one little seed. But if it dies, it rises forth from the ground and produces a multitude of seeds. He says, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. That's the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. But our lives, think about our lives. They're consumed. They're spent trying to simply live, aren't they? Give me life. and all the stuff of life and the times and the moments of life. Preserve, store up, keep, hold on to this life. After all, we inherently know it's limited. It's not going to go on forever. And there's something going on within us that says, put it in the ground. Let it come to a conclusion. May it never be. And indeed, there is something to that. We inherently know and recognize we are eternal beings. We are given life. We have been created by God for the purpose of eternity. And as much as our days and our times here are numbered in a way that we recall with, we cite with the psalmist, Lord, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We inherently know times, life is ebbing away. And so Jesus tells the crowd, tells us, you have the light only for a little while. That is, as we've come to know it, seize the day, the moments of life. Seize them in a way. Take hold of them with intentionality, even as you recognize and live out. I'm not taking hold of them to live. I'm, in fact, taking hold of them to pour them into the ground. That is, to be intentional, to make choices in which I look not just to the preservation of my life, but I look to the multiplication of my life in Christ, to this growing and abounding and producing a harvest of fruit to God. And the nature of this is curiously through moments and types of death. And that's why Jesus has to tell it this way. Because in all of our associations and whatnot, we'd say, no, wait, time out. That's not the way it is it? That can't be. But in fact, it is the nature of the kingdom of God. And that's the nature then of the fruit of faith in our lives. That we recognize this God, you know, unreasoned reality. That in dying to myself, in giving my life to God or allowing him, as we read in the epistle reading, I think, well, maybe it was the first reading, anyway, these things had been written about him, these things had been done to him, that there's something of the story of Jesus' life that in a way is scripted, is told beforehand, and Jesus is simply walking the path of what has been ordained by God. And that invites us to know our days and our times in a similar way. Imagine the freedom of this. Whatever God allows to happen to me, to us, God has allowed it. And that gives me the freedom then to receive it from him in the mystery and the wonder of what it means for us in those moments in which we struggle, because Jesus does refer to a darkness that is coming. I could imagine that he's speaking to the actual darkness that covers the land for those 3 hours as he is on the cross. An unnatural moment in which light does not shine. Creation does not do its normal thing. And darkness and foreboding covers the people, overshadows their hearts and their minds, and all expectations of hope. They look upon the cross and they see the one who has exuded the heart and the mind of God himself. all the compassion and the goodness of God, the power of God, the beauty of the truth and the wisdom of God exuding from this Savior, but his life is poured out in blood on that cursed tree. Oh, it is so, so very dark. Jesus is saying to the people, while you have the light, grab hold, live your life with that light, so that if and as when the darkness comes, you have the fuel of hope within you, that which supersedes all the evidence around you. But the promises of God resting in your heart and your soul, and these are your treasure, these are your strength, this is what you're made for, and without it, all your efforts to live are just existing. Just existing. Not life. Vibrant, whole, trusting, exuberant, exalting life, even on the road to Calvary, unless the grain is cast into the ground and dies, it produces nothing at all. And we learn then, the preservation of our lives may be for naught if they aren't spent to the glory of our Lord and our Savior. If we have not recognized the words of our Lord who says, where I am, there my servant will be. And to say, as my Savior walks to the cross, so must I shoulder mine and journey behind him, ever as pitiful as it might be, my walk in my Savior's shoes. Yet that is my road, written about and done to. And we're free as children of God to say with Mary and with the son she bore in the garden, not my way, Lord, not mine, but yours be done, yours be done. And this is the faith of the saints. And we have the privilege of looking over the scope and the span of history and recognizing this simple truth. The blood of the saints, well, guess what that is? You've heard this? The blood of the saints is the seed of the church. And this very thing is happening now in our day and our time. We hear it from people like Jerry and Stacy, the Kramers, in their ministry in Iraq and beyond, and all that. The death of the saints is the seed of the church. And they're living, and they know what Jesus said. Unless the seed is cast into the ground, it produces nothing. But if it dies, it multiplies. And so Jesus journeys to the cross to cast his life into the ground, to entrust himself to his Father beyond the moments of his comprehension and the experience of the gravity of the darkness of that moment. Here he is, the Son of God and the Son of Man for us. We can journey with our Savior because of who he is, because of his promise to be with us, because of the fulfillment of all the times and all the things that have been written. Trust this Lord and this God with your lives. Allow them to be sown in any number of moments of selfless, sacrificial, putting self aside to say, here is the road to the kingdom of heaven. Here is the road to life. Here is the road beyond just existing. God help us. We need that path. In Jesus' name, amen.